Well, a good morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining me here this morning for this broadcast. Always a blessing that you join us here on Wednesday mornings. I really do appreciate your faithfulness to listen to us. We have a special guest with us today. He is a missionary to the nation of Cambodia, and I had the privilege of just coming to know about this gentleman and his family through a prayer card that was given to me several days ago. And in light of that particular circumstance and my just praying about talking to this gentleman, I was so impressed with doing this program this morning and conveying the ministry of Cambodia and the opportunity to speak to this gentleman. His name is Sarah Vong, and that's V-O-N-G. And I'm welcoming Brother Sarah Vong to Wheat Among the Tares. Good morning, my brother. Welcome to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Good morning, sir. Good to be with you this morning.
Brother, it's a blessing to have you. And, you know, I'm thinking back to some of our past programs, and we've had the opportunity to speak to a number of missionaries from around the world. And personally, that's what excites me about this program and makes it, to me, interesting, and I know to our listeners, is to be able to talk to various men from around the world who have taken their families and perhaps have gone to a foreign field, or those that are there are part of the country from where they came, and now they have gone back to that country. And that's the case with you. As far as the nation of Cambodia, you're a native Cambodian, and
yes, sir.
Have been there. Brother Vong, let me ask you first of all, and I've got some history here. Cambodia went through a terrible time in history back in the 70s, and I think from our pre-conversation here, you were born kind of during that time of Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge government there during that time period. Brother, go back, if you would, and just give us some history of when you were born, how and the circumstances in your country at that particular time, and what God did for your life, even at that very, very young age.
Yes, sir. As you mentioned, Brother Lindsay, in the mid-70s, the communist Cambodian took over Cambodia. I wasn't really born during the 70s. I'm early 80s. But my parents went through that, and my mom was expecting me while the war was raging. And fortunately, because of God's grace, my parents were able to escape their province, which borders the country of Thailand. And so they fled during the night, jumping over landmines, dodging bullets and such and so forth. And by God's grace, we were able to cross the border, and I was born in one of the refugee camps there in Thailand. And so my parents lost a lot of their siblings. Grandparents had 15 children, 10 made it to America with us. So, you know, God's grace. That's simply what it is. And he gave us life to be able to continue living, to live for his honor and glory. So just a terrible time. Over at least 2 million Cambodians perished during that time. So it's a pretty sad situation there. But, you know, if it weren't for that event, we wouldn't have gotten the gospel, and we would not have been able to go back to Cambodia and share the gospel with our people.
Well, you know, brother, I was just thinking that very thing, how that God took in his plan, God took some very terrible circumstances and turned that to the fact that, number one, that your parents and who were Buddhists, and you mentioned to me about 95% of the population in Cambodia follows the tenets of Buddhism, do they not?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And I know, brother, that situation alone, how that eventually God in his mercy allowed you to come to here in America. And praise God for America. It's a country that has so turned on its head from what it used to be as far as a God-fearing nation. But I'm thankful still that men can come here and hear the light of the gospel. And brother, I am so glad that you were able to come here and to hear the truth and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell us how you personally came to faith in the Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir. So when we first came, relocated to America, we moved to the East Coast, which happens to be Bronx, New York. So you can imagine with me from the jungles of Southeast Asia to the streets of Bronx. So it's kind of quite a culture shock.
Well, it was a different jungle is what it was.
It was a concrete jungle. So yeah, there were some unique experiences that obviously our experiences make who we are. And so of course being transplanted here in the U.S., we were Buddhist. We really had no background. I never heard the gospel until we moved to California. So an interesting thing about California is, just to tell you a little bit about my church background here, never heard the gospel up until I got to California. And we were reached by a missionary to the Cambodians here in the States. My founding pastor, he loved the Southeast Asian people, and he actually wanted to go to Cambodia to be a missionary there. But during the early 80s, mid 80s rather, he could not get a visa because the war was still going on. And so God changed his direction as far as being a missionary there, because a lot of Cambodians were migrating here to the States, and specifically Long Beach, California, where my pastor grew up at. And so God closed that door, opened up this door here in Long Beach, and he came and planted Cambodian Baptist Church here in Long Beach, California. By the way, my pastor's name is Joe Esposito. And so Pastor Esposito started reaching Cambodian people, especially young people. And I got reached through that ministry, got saved in Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher was concerned for my soul. And really what the Lord used to bring me to church was the Christian school. So what happened was I was starting to get into some trouble in the public school, and one of the staff members at the church convinced my dad to put me in the Christian school, just through conversation. My dad was like, that's a good idea. And so of course, as an unbeliever, you go into a Christian school, and I'm like, what's going on here? I didn't even want to be there. But part of the prerequisites of going to the school, you have to go to church every Sunday. And my dad made me do just that. And so every Sunday, he got me going to church. Of course, he didn't go to church himself, but he wanted me in the Christian school.
Right.
So I went to church and just the word of God being preached week in, week out, and just the Holy Spirit convicting me. And I remember August 2nd, 1992, right by the church dumpster of all places, I accepted Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. I got saved, and the rest is history. So,
well, brother, what a story. That is a great story in and of itself, and a blessing. You know, it doesn't matter the locale of where you come to know the Lord.
Right.
There was a woman at the well There was a man in a tree in the Bible. There was various locations, but the main thing is that to come to repentance before the Lord and acknowledge your need of Him. And I know that that same burden, brother, that saved your soul, God impressed upon you. Tell us now, God saved you and then obviously started to deal with you, which I find very interesting that a man that wanted to go to Cambodia now starts a church there, and as a result of that, can not only win Cambodians there, but then God touched their hearts and send them back to where they're from. Tell us a little bit about how that occurred.
Yes, sir. Again, just pastor being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, started our church as Cambodian Baptist Church, but you know, being in a multi-ethnic city like Long Beach, California, just a melting pot of ethnicities. And we started to expand and our church grew. We started to reach other ethnicities and we had to change the name of our church. Now we're called Pacific Baptist Church. But Pastor's heart was always for the Southeast Asian people. And he made it a purpose and a goal to train us, disciple us to go back to our country of origin and reach our own people. After all, they are our people. So, you know, if we're not concerned for them, then who's going to be? So, he kind of relay that personal responsibility in our hearts as young people. And so I'm excited to let you know that, you know, our church have sent out seven missionaries back to Cambodia. So it's always been a dream of his to a dream of pastor to be in Cambodia, but now he's if you would, living through us there.
Yes.
And we're serving there. We're serving as a team. There's five of us that work together, been able to just do the Lord's allowed us to do a lot of work there and planting five churches and such. So just amazing what the Lord can do with an obedient heart. And so very thankful for my pastor. He's not pastoring now because about 10 years ago this month, he had an aneurysm on the first day of our missions conference when we were pretty much just promoting our team to Cambodia. But, you know, again, the Lord used pastor's testimony to really get us going and get us through and accomplishing what we've been able to accomplish. But I was just very thankful for a man who had a desire to please God with his life and was obedient and willing to do whatever God wants him to do. And because of that testimony, you know, we've been able to do what we're doing there in Cambodia, you know. So we're very, very grateful for that.
Brother, I'm thinking of how that one man had a desire and God shut a door, as you said. And probably at the time, and probably if we had a chance to talk to him, there was probably some disappointment in his heart about not being able to go how the original desire of his heart, but not knowing that God would take that very desire and expand it and work it through other men's hearts and actually accomplish more through that rather than he himself going. And as you said, his burden became yours and six other men's burdens, and now that team has fanned out, if you would, into the nation of Cambodia. I know that absolutely rejoices his heart to know what God has done. And brother, you know, in your life, and I know it's happened in mine, how God has said no from time to time, and you wonder why. Well, God has a reason. Elias has a reason.
Yes.
And I appreciate that part of that testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know that's an encouragement to others that may be listening right now. And if you are just joining us, we are talking with Brother Sarah Vong. He is a missionary to the nation of Cambodia, and he's native Cambodian. And Brother Sarah, I'm going to ask you now, we have gone through how you came to know the Lord, how you came to your pastor led you as far as God leading you, and then your pastor being a good godly example of the burden to go back. You made a point a while ago, and I want to reiterate it just a moment. You said, I think he said it too. He said, if you can't be burdened for your own people, then who will be? And that is, to me, that is a very critical aspect of missions in and of itself, because brother, if you know, being a Native American, but somebody that is, you know, born here in the United States of America, how that we ought to have a burden for the folks just around us. And brother, it happens sometimes people think, well, if they go to, they'll have much more of a burden that they go to a foreign country. And I've heard it said, and our pastor has said it here, if you don't have a burden for where you're at, what makes you think that you're going to have a burden when you get to a foreign field? And I think your pastor definitely dispelled anything concerning that when it came to just being able to say, hey, I have a burden for those that are my people. Comment on that, if you would.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's the biblical principle we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be witnesses unto me, speaking of Jesus here, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is things that we need to do simultaneously as far as reaching and making disciples. So if we're not already doing in Jerusalem, and we're not concerned about Jerusalem as far as where we're at, our locality, you know, we're being disobedient to the Great Commission, and which is Jesus' last commandment to us as a church. And so that's very important. You know, obviously God saved us for a reason. You know, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
We didn't get saved by doing good. We're saved to do good. And so just as God has blessed the United States of America to be a blessing to others, when she stops doing that, you know, it's going to be a downhill from there. So, again, as you mentioned and alluded earlier, praise the Lord for the United States. The United States has become a mission field in of itself.
It has.
You know, people are coming here, and some, we don't even need to go out. they're coming to us here in the States. So just a tremendous opportunity.
That is a good point, my brother. I've wondered, you know, there's pros and cons to the whole argument about immigration and all that type of thing. And I understand it. And I know you do too. I mean, you immigrated here, your family immigrated here and found asylum here in America. Praise God that you did. But as a result of that, the opportunity for you to hear the truth. And oftentimes that is the case with many of these that are coming here.
Right.
I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to minister the word of God, and that others may come to know that would have never, ever known had they stayed in their native countries. And I'm very appreciative of that fact and how God moves in that direction. Brother, you are have been back in Cambodia. I know as we are talking right now that you have been on a furlough here in the States, but you're getting ready to go back to the field. Tell us now about the mission field that you have been in, how long you've been there, and kind of what God is leading and direction-wise for you and your family.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As I told you earlier, we will be in Cambodia for 9 years this coming January. We are currently on furlough, but we're wrapping up our furlough in about 9 days. I'll be headed back to Cambodia. So when we first got to Cambodia, we started working in the city center of the capital city, Phnom Penh, and God allowed us our team to plant a church there, and as a result, we've been able to, because the capital city serves as a hub per se for the economy and just people coming to the capital city for schooling and to the universities and stuff like that.
Sure.
So they come from all over the province to the capital city. And strategically, that would be the ideal place to start a ministry, because we want to, obviously, we just don't want to reach the capital city. We want to expand to the rest of the 26 provinces there in Cambodia.
Yes.
And so, well, they're all coming from different provinces. And as we reach them through soul winning, or even just building relationships, having connection and whatnot, we've been able to get them saved, disciple them. And, you know, instinctively, when you become a born again believer, you want to, especially if you believe that, you know, there's a real heaven and there's a real hell,
want
your relatives to know as well. And so there's a instinctive desire to want the gospel back in your home village. And so for the past 9 years, we've been able to make connections with different people from different villages and provinces all through Cambodia. And the Lord has allowed us to go with these believers back to their village, you know, start a children's ministry. It expands, people get saved, adults get saved, and there's a need to have a worship service on Sunday. So we plant a church. And so we've been doing that for the past 9 years, and the Lord has allowed us, allowed our team to start 5 churches just by doing that. So our main church is in the capital city, albeit we've relocated from the city center to the outskirts of the city. Logistically, that's just a better situation, because we're closer to the highways. If you can imagine living in the city center, just to get to the highways, it takes 50 minutes to an hour just to get the ball rolling as far as getting to our destination.
So, right. Yes.
So, you know, to cut that out, and also too, the outskirts land was cheaper to purchase. We bought our own property about almost 4 years ago, built our building. And so we have a main church right there in the outskirts of the capital. We have 4 other church plants in 4 different provinces as well. So God's really blessed the efforts there. And just really the we cast that same vision as how my pastor cast it. If you won't reach your own people, who will? You know, don't expect missionaries to come if you don't take ownership of and be good stewards of what God's given.
Amen.
You as well. We're all stewards of the gospel.
That's right.
And so we've really challenged our people. And you know, the Lord has not only allowed us to reach Cambodian people. There's about my numbers may be wrong, but roughly 140 people groups there in Cambodia. And the Lord has, I went there with the intention of reaching Cambodians, because, you know, I'm Cambodian, but God has opened up opportunities and doors to reach a people group called the Cham people, which predominantly are Muslims. And you know how difficult it is to reach Muslims, but
yes,
because of different situations and scenarios, we've been able to reach the son of a village chief, and he got saved. He wanted his people to hear the gospel, so we went over to his village, started children's ministry, and the Lord just started to bless a lot of former Muslims got saved. But because he was the son of the village chief, we got a little bit of privilege there. And then what happened was persecution set in, because, you know, you think about it, what is a Christian ministry or church doing in a Muslim village? So that created an uproar. And about, I want to say 7 years ago, we got persecuted, got kicked out of the village. I mean, somebody could have been killed about 7 or 8 years ago, because they were waiting for us with machetes and knives and everything like that. And so we took it as a hint to get out of there. And we, that ministry there, the church plant there, you know, persecution is always good for God's people. And that really defined the wheat and the tare, if you would. And so
yes,
a good core of believers just stick with the stuff. And they were just living their faith, being persecuted, denied just a bunch of privileges that, because, you know, they live in the village. So imagine going to buy food or whatnot and not being able to buy any in that village because you're a Christian now.
Yes.
You know, this is a, and so they went through all that. But for the past 7 or 8 years, I want to say, bless God, the former persecutors are now Christians as well.
Bless
because
the
of
Lord.
The testimony of our people. So we've started building a building for our people there. We took an offering to raise some money with our people there, and they brought in $17,000 to build their building. And so it's just amazing to see their commitment and their love for their own people. And as it goes back to personal responsibility,
they've really taken
this vision and ran with it, and just being accountable and being good stewards of what they've been given. And I'm just very thankful to see the growth there. So that church there runs about 70 to 80 people. 80% of them were former Muslims.
Bless the Lord, oh my brother. I'm telling you, that is a great, great testimony of people that will stick by their faith when it's impossible in the world's eyes to do so. I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful that, for you sharing that. Brother, we're coming to the bottom of the hour. I want to get just a moment, give you a moment to talk about just the involvement of your wife and children as far as the ministry, and then give us a means by which those that are listening can get in contact with you regarding talking to you about it, possible support, etc. Tell us about your family's involvement and, again, how to get in contact with you.
Yes, sir. So God's really blessed me with a great team as far as my family is concerned. I mean, my wife, she's amazing. We grew up together there at our home church in Long Beach. She got saved as a junior higher, and she's just a godly woman, loves the Lord, loves her children, loves her husband. And she, honestly, she's the one that, if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. She's a full-time homemaker. She's, the Lord's blessed us with 8 children. And so she's busy beyond measure, but she still finds the time to be a blessing to our church members there, and just, teach, she disciples teenagers and young mothers and the ladies there. Our children is also very involved. Cambodia is home to them. I mean, they're so anxious to get back to Cambodia. We are leaving one of our sons here in the States to go to college. As a matter of fact, in 2 days here, he's up for surgery. His name is Titus. So he has knee surgery coming up. So you remember to pray for him. But the family is just very instrumental in our ministry there. So we're just very thankful for that ministry that God's given us. As far as the family is concerned.
Amen.
And as far as prayer requests and also how to get in contact with me. Let me allude to this. I'm sorry, I forgot this. So the Lord's given us 8 children. One of them are actually special needs. Lara, our second to last daughter, she is, she's diagnosed with Downs and Turner's syndrome. In Cambodia, they believe in karma. And so what you believe really determines how you act. And so, folks that have special needs children, the Cambodians believe, oh, because of the life before, you did something really bad. So that's why you're cursed. And so, special needs children are often neglected and discarded and really, treated like trash. And so because of our situation, we've been able to show our people, the Bible says every good gift comes from above.
That's right. Amen.
And what we believe is, we don't believe in reincarnation. God has given us Lara to be a blessing, and she has been a blessing. So she's really opened up another facet of ministry for us to be able to show the world that, hey, this is God's gift to us. And she's special, yes, but she's also a soul. And God loves her, and this is how you deal with special needs children. So she's been a blessing to us. So that's another ministry that my wife and I have been able to be a part of, just really teaching and encouraging and helping our people to how to deal with special needs children.
Amen.
So thankful for that. And as far as contacting us, we do have social media. We use Facebook and Instagram. Facebook, it's Sarah space Needy space Vong. So my wife and I both share an account. And also our email, my first and last name, Sarah, S-A-R-A-V-O-N-G, at gmail.com. Contact you. Feel free to contact me there. And if you want to sign up for our prayer letter, just send an email and we'll add you to our prayer updates every quarter. And just very thankful for, as I mentioned, the Lord allowing us to build a church there, a church building there for our former Muslim believers. And just pray for that, that everything goes well. We're starting a school when I get back to use as a evangelization effort there to reach more affluent people, because God has called us to reach everybody. And so it's just a tool that we're doing to get into people's homes and get connections and make disciples. And so pray for our transition back this in about 9 days here. We're heading back.
Amen.
And just a lot of things going on, but just pray for God's grace and God's will to be done.
What a story, brother. Thank you. And as is our custom here on Wheat Among the Tares, we always take time to pray with those that we speak to. And brother, I'm going to do that just now. I'm going to pray that God would certainly bless you for Titus and his surgery on Monday, that the Lord would have his will and way concerning that. And what a time we've enjoyed here this morning. Let's take time to pray. And those of you who are listening, take time to pray with us just now, if you would. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to Brother Vong this morning. It's been such a blessing to me, and I know it's been a blessing to many that have heard and have heard this podcast as well. And I trust that for these needs that he spoke of, Lord, for his return to Cambodia, Lord, for the surgery that's needed for his son, Lord, the other needs that are on his heart, maybe he didn't share with us, but things, Lord, that are certainly needed for right now, I pray, my Father, that you would hear his cries, Lord, the cries of his wife, and certainly that, Lord, that you would bless them as they do return to the mission field of Cambodia, their native country. I pray that your goodness and mercies go upon them, that your wisdom be given to them, and that, Lord, that you would use them mightily for your honor and glory. Lord, may many come to know you as their Lord and Savior and be delivered from the darkness of Buddhism. Thank you for, again, the opportunity. Bless Brother Sarah, Sister Needy, and Lord, their family. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Sarah Vong, missionary to Cambodia. Brother, thank you for taking the time to share with us this morning here on Wheat Among the Tares. It's been a joyous thing to talk to you, my brother.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you.
And I want to thank you for joining us here for Wheat Among the Tares. We're here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks for joining us. Pray for us here.